Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from John 20, verses 24 through 30. Jesus meets our doubts as we're gathered. Thomas joins the disciples the next Sunday for their gathering. He responds to these doubts not by rejecting or forsaking the gathering of God's people, but by continuing to process in the context of the community of people who know and love Jesus. So John 20, 24 through 30 from the Revised Standard Version. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God.
What more can I say than what was said this morning? But I do have more to say today. Your doubts matter to God. They really do. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yes, I do want to talk to you today about how God speaks to us in our doubts. Because your doubts indeed matter to God. And sometimes we think we are supposed to have this, you know, perfect faith, where we never have a doubt. And if we did have a doubt, you know, keep it to ourselves. Where we never get discouraged and wonder why things are happening the way they happen. We think if we just doubt a little bit, God's probably not going to like that and won't do anything to help us out. Have you ever been in a position where suddenly you just feel invisible? Like, who's felt like that before? Like you're not even in the room. Maybe you've lost a position. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you saw your retirement blow up and get lost. Or maybe you've lost your health or a loved one. And you wonder, why is God letting this happen to me? I've had many people tell me of the great losses in their lives, and they just don't understand. I could easily come up with a two-minute pep talk, you know, like God is in control. He's opening one door, so closing one door and opening the other. I'm tempted to say those things, and I have said those things to people. And I've even said them to myself. But I've had a few people say to me, I want to believe, but I have all these doubts. Doubts that God is going to help me. Doubts that I'll ever be successful. That I'll ever recover from the loss. Doubts that I'm not capable of moving forward because I don't have the strength or I don't have the ability. Well, here's what I've finally come to after reading this passage many, many, many times over the years. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to ask why and have doubts. You see, God doesn't expect us to have a super faith behavior or be a super believer and never get discouraged. Never have questions. That's just unreasonable. But we're human, and it's not even reality that we won't have questions. I've had many questions in my walk with God throughout my lifetime. When things just don't make sense. Someone once said, the presence of faith is not the absence of doubt. You see, look at me. Doubt is in your head. Faith is in your heart. And God understands what it's like to be wronged. Certainly his son Jesus Christ suffered on a cross a horrific death unjustly. He was wronged by those he loved, and yet he forgave them. God knows what it feels like for someone to ask you for a divorce. God knows what it's like to pray for your loved one that didn't make it. God knows what it's like when someone hands you a pink slip and you lose everything, everything that you had good intentions for. God loves us and doesn't write us off and say, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. No, God is right there with us in those times. The Lord is moved by our faith. But sometimes it is our doubt that will actually draw us closer to God. When the disciples heard from Mary and Martha after they went into the empty tomb and saw that Jesus had risen, they went back to the upper room and they were and told them the good news. And the disciples were elated. They were excited. You could even hear them shouting praise from the upper room. They all celebrated, except one. Thomas said, okay, I'm a believer. But I won't believe unless I see the scars in his hand, touch the scars on his side. I won't believe then until I see that. You see, Thomas had been with Jesus. Well, he was brought up in the Jewish faith. He'd been walking and learning from childhood who God is and what God's intentions for the Messiah would be. And he walked with Jesus the whole time. He knew that the Messiah had come, and he heard Jesus say that he would die and raise again in 3 days. He heard all that. But because of death, which is so overwhelming to us, Thomas had these doubts. Thomas needed proof. And when Jesus suddenly appeared in the upper room with the disciples, you know what? He didn't go to Peter. He didn't go to John. He didn't go to Matthew. He said, peace be with you, and went straight over to Thomas. He didn't go to the people who had faith. He went to the one who had doubts. He looked at Thomas in his eyes. He said, I've heard what you said about me, but that's okay. Now feel the nail prints in my hands. Touch the scars in my side. And it occurred to me that Jesus would have had to take his robe off and his undergarment in order to touch the flesh or even to see it on his side. Jesus was going to allow Thomas to see his very vulnerable part of his human body and the vulnerability that he suffered through. And instead of berating him, he just showed him. He allowed him to touch that. And God is faithful. God is faithful in our doubts and does not push us away and actually draws us closer when we have doubts. Because God knows our vulnerability. And in that, God refines us. We just sang with the children, Make New Friends. There are many things in life that cause us to doubt, and Jesus is right there with us, befriending us on our journey in the midst of our doubt. We are there for one another, helping each other through times when we have doubt. Showing us the most unbelievable things and entering into our vulnerability. Asking us to touch him, his side, his hands, and behold him in the midst of our loss. To make friends with his presence and allow others who have faith to carry us through hard times, Jesus, you see, respected Thomas, respected his doubt, and that respect released him to his strength. That's what respect does. It's a refinement, if you will, refining what is vulnerable. God's love for us is so great that even when we have doubt, he's right there with us, showing up. He wants to turn our doubt into praise. And when we believe in God's great love shown to us in Jesus Christ, then we are also ready to love others in that same way when they are having a hard time and going through doubt. We can lift each other up and help to refine our faith. So I have a question for you today. What would you do if you were the disciple of Thomas? Anybody can answer. What would you do if you were Thomas? In that, picture yourself there. Would you have said, I won't believe until I see? Sunday school class, anybody? Maybe. Yeah. Say what?
It's a safe answer.
It's a safe answer. You gave me that question. So the next question is, why is it sometimes difficult to believe God's love for us? Why is that so difficult? Anybody? We feel like we're not worthy. What else? What? You can't see him? Can't really hear him? Yeah. It doesn't really exist. Now, the third question that Krista gave me, I'm blaming you for this one. How can we reassure others of God's love for them? How do we do that?
By showing love ourselves.
Loving ourselves? What else? By example.
Loving others.
Loving others. You see, it's okay to say, God, I prayed and it didn't work out. I'm hurting. I have doubts, I'm afraid, I wonder where you are. Scripture says God is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. When you hurt, God hurts. That's what that means. When God feels your pain, he felt the pain of his son hanging on a cross, who cried out in his pain, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus felt discouragement and doubt and questioned his Father. God was right there with him, and after he gave his last breath, was resurrected 3 days later. God, you see, is moved by our faith and is also moved by our doubt. So Jesus went to Thomas first, full of mercy. You see, God is in the business of giving us, not giving us what we deserve. God is in the business of helping us through times when we have doubt and we need to stay the course, maybe especially so. And God is in the business of building relationships in this community and in all church communities. We are in the refinement of our faith. So now I'm going to say the second part of the first verse of the children's song we sang. And it's interesting that this, I think Girl Scouts sang this song. Yep. Make new friends, but keep the old ones. One is silver and the other is gold. Silver and gold are God's currency. It's valuable and it will never lose its value. Both have to endure refinement to make them perfect. New friends, new ideas, new thoughts, new people coming amongst us, new beliefs, new ways of doing things have value. And maybe we should call that silver. But don't throw out the old friends, the old beliefs, and the old traditions let's call that gold. They are both tangible evidence of something valuable. Always test everything through the refinement of fire. Who is this fire? I think you should know by now, we've been talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit for a while. God's Word. Test everything through that. To make sure that it's pure silver, pure gold. Both are needed and required in our relationships built on love, open communication, and a firm foundation in the gospel to hold hands together for the future. Today we've been encouraged. Today we have courage to share this good news as we leave this place today. To share the gospel that refines us and refines others. And spread this love and gospel everywhere we go in whatever way we can. Amen?